Is there a cost to lowering the cost of medicine? Plus a separate story about the cost of banned drugs in sports. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This week, there's a big vote in Congress on the Democrats' plan to lower prescription drug prices. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the strategy should make medicine more accessible, but the White House is worried it will quash development of new drugs. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Pelosi's plan would empower the Department of Health and Human Services to negotiate lower prices on prescription drugs. Gerard Anderson at Johns Hopkins University says currently, pharmaceutical companies just tell consumers how much to pay for their prescriptions.
The cost of actually manufacturing most of these drugs is very small, so they're making a huge profit on each drug that they sell.
The Trump administration has argued the law could lead to 100 fewer drugs entering the U.S. market and cost the U.S. economy as much as $1 trillion a year over the next decade.
There will definitely be trade-offs.
Stacey Duzet-Zina at Vanderbilt University says fewer drugs will likely be developed, but the White House's numbers are inflated. And simply producing new drugs doesn't automatically give people access.
So if we have more and more drugs, but no one can afford to take them, then we're not really in a very good spot.
Even if Pelosi's drug bill gets out of the House, it's likely to have a tough road in the Republican-led Senate. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
There's news just now that the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, has banned Russia from all major international sporting events for an unprecedented 4 years. The move follows an investigation which found that the Russian authorities had tampered with computer data from a Moscow testing lab to cover up evidence of doping by athletes. Most Russian officials deny this. The BBC's Alex Kapstick reports.
The punishment includes a ban on the national flag and anthem at the upcoming Olympics and the 2022 World Cup. Russia is also unable to host international competitions. But athletes will be allowed to compete as neutrals as long as they can show they are untainted by the scandal. That's controversial. There have been calls for a blanket ban because Russia is a repeat offender. An appeal, though, is expected, which means the case will go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Its panel will then have the task of considering whether positive drug tests have been covered up, and if so, whether the sanctions announced today are justified.
Alex Kapstick is with our editorial partner, the BBC, in London. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE Index in London is down about a 0.1%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down less than a 0.1%. Crude oil traded in New York down 0.9%, $58.68 a barrel. The dollar is down, with the euro up to $1.107. The story that won't go away this fall is the breakdown of a huge market for very short-term loans that the U.S. Federal Reserve relies upon to set interest rates, called the repo market, and it keeps seizing up with demand outstripping supply. Analysts repeatedly suggest that it's mainly an underlying plumbing problem, nothing to see here. But a new report from a Swiss-based international banking regulator says it's not just banks, but also hedge funds putting high demand on this crucial market. The hedge funds have figured out a clever financial maneuver that uses the repo market in a derivatives play. The U.S. Federal Reserve last week pumped $107 billion more into the market to try to smooth it out. You spoke, we listened. Marketplace socks are back, and right now we have a real deal for you. You can get not one, but two pairs of socks. That's one for each of our new Marketplace designs when you donate $60 or more today. Or you can sign up to give $5 a month, same deal. Support independent news you trust at marketplace.org and get these snazzy new Marketplace socks as a thank you for your contribution. And thank you for believing in what we do. We really do appreciate it. One of Michigan's biggest breweries, which is also a national brand, recently settled a racial discrimination lawsuit with a former employee, but not before there was a backlash as some bars and stores across Michigan vowed to stop selling those beers. From WKAR in East Lansing, Karel Vega reports.
Henry's Place is a cozy Midwestern pub in Okemos, Michigan. The bar serves a selection of beers on tap from all around the state, but notably missing from the lineup are choices from Michigan brewery founders. Henry Kwok owns Henry's Place.
I felt like it was the right thing to do to pull the beers off the line.
The reason Kwok and others are cutting ties with Founders has to do with a recently settled lawsuit between the brewery and a former African-American employee, Tracy Evans. Neither side disclosed details of the settlement, and Evans declined to comment. But in his lawsuit, Evans claimed he was subjected to a racist work environment and then fired for bringing these issues to HR. The lawsuit alleged that coworkers used the N-word and that one of the printers was labeled the Black Guy Printer. Dave Engbers is one of the co-founders of the brewery.
So I can't speak to the settlement itself, but Founders was built on hiring people from all different backgrounds.
Shortly before the settlement in October, a deposition leaked. In it, the Founders Detroit Taproom general manager claimed he didn't know Evans was Black. That sparked a backlash on social media that led to the boycotts. And some stores are seeing a change. Rich Macarius owns Tom's Party Store in East Lansing. Macarius says some of Founders' signature stouts like KBS aren't selling well.
That used to be an item that came in and the same day it would be sold out. Now, frankly, it doesn't move. We've had a month, 2 months supply, and we still have some. So it has changed dramatically.
Founders has closed its Detroit taproom. The brewery plans to reopen in 2020. When it does, it says it will donate all of the taproom's proceeds to charity for at least 2 years. Charlie Ballard is an economist at Michigan State University. He says boycotts tend to fizzle out, but this one may still bring change to Founders.
It will have a negative effect, at least in the short term, on their bottom line. And if that leads them to improve their culture, then the boycott will have been successful, I believe.
Founders says it expects to ship more beer in 2019 than the year before. Earlier this year, it started distributing its beer to all 50 states. A Chicago restaurant chain said it would stop carrying the brand in the wake of the discrimination lawsuit. In East Lansing, I'm Karel Vega for Marketplace.
And one can delight in someone else's misfortune, but all of us in our jobs, must be all of us, have to speak in front of others. And we all know public speaking is fraught. Well, remember back in 2015, comedian, radio man, and game show host Steve Harvey announced that Miss Universe was Miss Colombia, but it was actually Miss Philippines. It got lots of coverage at the time. Well, last night, again at Miss Universe, Harvey was talking about Best National Costume winner, the Philippines. But the contestant beside him had to correct him. It's Malaysia. Now, the contestant on stage was Malaysian, but Harvey was right this time on the Best Costume winner. It was the Philippines. Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.